Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Donnie, Esther? Ben's here. Shall I be giving you a hand?
No, alright. Oh, coming.
It is literally the entrance of Long John Silver in Treasure Island.
I'm more a bass than Long John Silver.
All you lack is a parrot on your shoulder.
Oh, God. Operation on my foot and someone still thinks it's funny to put a whoopee cushion on my shoulder.
So you've got a bad foot.
I've got an operation on my left foot to remove a tumour that was growing on a nerve.
I didn't know it was on your left foot. Maybe even the column should be my left foot.
My left foot.
You're not kind of hamming it up quite as much as Daniel Day-Lewis did.
I've never seen my left foot, but I get it confused with my beautiful laundrette. My beautiful laundrette is about a pair of gay men who run a laundrette.
Yeah.
And my left foot is about someone who paints with his left foot.
Yeah.
Because he's... Can't use it. Hasn't been
asked. There's
can't
also My Left Laundrette, which is about a gay couple who we each only have one
socialist.
Leg, and they open a laundrette and paint it top to bottom. That girl, that lovely girl at dinner that I sat next to yesterday, told me she thought you only had one leg.
That was so funny. So last night we went to a dinner party. Probably on reflection, I probably should have stayed at home with my leg up. But I was really excited to go to this dinner party because it was being given by this guy who we haven't seen for 10 years, and he's brilliant. And everyone thought he was just a crazy party animal and it wasn't like, you know, it was all going to end in tears. But he's married this amazing, beautiful American woman and they've had a child and it's just all kind of this lovely fairy story. Anyway, so I hobbled along to this dinner party last night and my foot is like, if my foot isn't elevated on something, it's really, really painful and it all kind of swells up and it's just sort of gross. So I was standing on my crutches with my left leg bent, rested behind me on an armchair. And these two women came in. I didn't notice them, but they said, we came into the door and one of them went, I thought you had no leg below the knee. And I was just going to like turn around and go home because I totally couldn't deal with it.
No, just I met. They then described you standing there with your knee missing like some really crap sort of school play, Long John Silver.
Yeah. Literally my knee just like bent.
And they were talking to you at this really lovely dinner party in a beautiful drawing room with lovely art on the walls. And they thought, she's only got one fucking leg. Do you go, so how did you do that? Is it a thing that's okay to do? I thought because it was in Notting Hill and quite sophist that perhaps the thing to do was to say, yeah, I did it heli-skiing.
Skiing accident. And they were both very tall. We are not tall, either of us. But everyone there was enormous.
They were.
Last night, everybody, including the women, they were all 6 foot tall. I was on lots of cocodamol. I'd had an operation. It was all quite surreal. And then I had these two very tall women bearing down on me going, we thought you only had half a leg. The whole experience was quite weird. But I'm glad I went and had a great time.
It was absolutely fantastic. No, I had an absolutely awesome time with my one-legged wife.
Worth it. Totally worth it. Okay, so should we go and talk about something serious? Do you want me to throw you a...
Yes, fine. Unless I write about a bit about a column about you only having one leg. And it would mostly be about how great I am doing all the school runs and filling in and looking after you.
I don't find it that impressive that you're doing the school runs and stuff. I look after both children completely on my own for weeks on end when you go away for work, and I don't write columns about how great I am.
Okay, all right, something else.
It's not going to make you look good.
That's just, I just wrote at the top of my column, Esther's foot / my life. That was idea right. one. Mm-hmm. I'll just cross that out.
Shall we demystify what's going on with Boris Johnson for our listeners? Because I was deeply confused by the whole CBI speech / Peppa Pig obsession. It's like, why is suddenly the newspaper full of Peppa Pig?
Well, partly that was because it was on Monday.
Not to be confused with the Chatty Pig, who's someone else.
What's that?
So the Chatty Pig.
Pretty Patel.
No, how dare you? I love Pretty Patel. So do you remember when the plans for last Christmas lockdown were leaked by the Chatty Rat? Someone in Whitehall basically leaked. Okay, fine. So last year there was a thing about the Chatty Rat, someone who'd leaked to the papers the Christmas lockdown plans. And there's someone else has been doing some horrible briefing against Boris Johnson. He did this sort of confused, sort of blustery speech to the CBI where he lost his place in his notes for 20 seconds and mentioned Peppa Pig. And then some Whitehall source is going, oh, he's a total embarrassment. People are writing letters to the 1922 committee. And you're like, yeah, someone writes a letter to the 1922 committee on a vote of no confidence. Every day, that's like...
I'm very, very displeased. It's Graham Brady writing to himself. But wait, is the Chatty Pig a thing you made up?
Mm-mm.
No, Chatty Pig is a bloke who didn't like the Peppa Pig speech.
Yeah.
The reason it's confusing is because it happened on Monday, and Monday was when you're having your operation. So in the morning, I got up, and after taking the two children to school and washing up and everything and making your breakfast and all that, and then writing my notebook column...
You didn't make my breakfast on Monday.
Did I not?
No.
Oh, because you didn't have any breakfast. No. Damn, sussed. And then driving the kids to school, I then came back and did my notebook, and then I went to pick you up. And meanwhile, this thing happened during the day with Boris.
And if you miss the first bit of it, subsequently, it's everything... And it's all really surreal in a kind of fuzzy, kind of druggy state. I'm like, am I really seeing Peppa Pig in the paper? Or like, am I hallucinating Peppa Pig in the paper?
But Peppa Pig lost his place in a speech about Boris Johnson.
Yeah, exactly. And then the Chatty Pig told everyone about how they like jumping in muddy puddles, and it was all just like really odd. So Boris Johnson's speech, you claim to have an idea about Boris Johnson's speech that I think Danny Finkelstein's already done.
Oh, I haven't read that.
But so Danny Finkelstein's basically saying
Boris Johnson,
don't expect Boris Johnson to change. Nobody can. Danny Finkelstein is a true conservative with a big C and a little C, in that he doesn't believe that people can really change, and he thinks Boris Johnson can't change.
Nothing.
And moreover, we don't want him to change.
Also, can you guess what? We'll come to that later. What's Danny Finkelstein ordered for the Times op-ed Christmas dinner? Now that you've mentioned him.
Well, I know.
Do you?
Yeah, because you read out. Because for some reason, you're fascinated by whatever.
We will later on.
You are organising.
Later on, we will come to my spreadsheet. Later on, we will be answering what William Hague is having for his Christmas dinner. Trevor Phillips, Matthew Paris. I've got all the answers, but we'll come to it later.
Okay.
We'll leave an editing nightmare for Ben. Later on, we'll have that. He's having the roast Norfolk turkey, by the way, with all the trimmings. But do you know what he's having for pudding?
Can I say I don't care? I mean, is that rude?
You'll care when I say the apple and blackberry tart with clotted cream.
I don't understand why you find this so interesting.
It's going to become interesting. Let you wait.
Is it?
It's a sleeper. Okay. It's a MacGuffin. Later on, okay, I'm going to reveal what Anne Trenneman... She's gluten-free.
Right.
Can Anne Trenneman have the fish? I've already asked the pub. We don't. Anyway, so Danny Finkelstein, yeah, look, fine. Danny's a great columnist. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's absurd to imagine Johnson will change.
Yeah.
The PM's chaotic speech with the CBI was a reflection of how he governs, but that's the style to which his party signed up.
Mm-hmm.
They've ended the sentence with a preposition. That's the style up to which his party signed, is what it should say.
Yeah, Cliff but that Martin. Sounds completely
Cliff Martin, chief
stupid.
Sub of comment. Up to which his party signed. This is the kind of rubbish up with which I will not put.
No, but the whole role of the chief sub is to deploy excellent grammar up to the point that it sounds stupid. To the point it sounds stupid up.
Your face, you're like...
I'm thinking about it. This is my Coco de Mol thinking face, which is very
similar. Coco Chanel?
Coco de Mol.
Oh, Coco de Mol. Is it really doing you... making you...
Maybe feel a bit lightheaded, yeah. But no, I'm thinking about...
We've been watching Dope Sick, by the way, listeners, all about OxyContin and how...
I don't feel remotely...
And now my wife is it, literally head lolling, dribbling.
She's about to
go and hold up the pharmacy at gunpoint for more Coco de Mol.
I'm pretty sure I've had... No, that's codeine. Codeine's boring. I don't think they give you opiates in this country.
No.
Even like, I'm pretty sure even when I was having a baby, they didn't give me opiates. Or maybe they did. But anyway, who cares? Look, who cares?
Well, should I get all my bad ideas out of the way first?
No, it's no idea is a bad idea. It's just, it just needs to be thinking. I can't, look, you've got to let me have a minute to think about what you've just said. And that I was just thinking about it. Are you going to leave your phone on for the entire thing?
What are you talking about? That was my job. Because
don't you my job me.
No, that was because Amazing Hotels goes out, starts Tuesday, 8 p.m.
mm-hmm.
next week.
Yeah.
Okay. And they just sent all the press stuff through, and that was just the executive producer talking about one of my very important appearances to promote my my thing.
Great.
We've got pick of the day and all the things. There's a big interview with me in the Radio Times. It's terribly exciting, and photos of me looking quite kind of rugged.
God, I hope they edited it probably, because I heard you giving that.
No, they did. They've made up all the quotes and they've taken out all the fun stuff.
Oh, thank you.
So it's fine.
So
alternate, look, if I don't write about public speaking, the other thing is the Peppa Pig option.
Yeah. So when you have small children, Peppa Pig is basically your entire life for about 3 years.
Seeing that story and seeing the pictures of Peppa Pig, which they used to illustrate the story, I felt very nostalgic. I never wanted to see Peppa Pig again as long as I lived. Do you remember I used to draw Peppa Pigs? Kitty would say, Peppa Pig, Peppa Pig, Peppa, and I draw Peppa. Yeah. I don't even know if I still can.
Yeah, it's like, no, snout.
Snout there, and then this isn't good for... That doesn't look like Peppa Pig. It was better than that. Peppa Pig on a bicycle. I used to draw Peppa Pig on a bicycle.
Dodge.
And do you remember on the beach in Devon where I did a Peppa Pig like the size of a football pitch,
so you could see it
from the cliff?
Yeah. You were about to write an entire television programme about a man.
I wrote, it's one of my, just before I wrote my entire musical that never got put on, I wrote an entire film about a person, the inventor of Peppa Pig. Anyway.
Okay,
so what about like an episode of Peppa Pig as in the government? And so Priti Patel is Mummy Pig, and she's always doing her important work on her computer.
Oh, yes. Clickety-clack. Can I play Happy Mrs. Chicken?
And who is famously young and... Because Gavin Williamson?
Gavin Williamson.
He would have been George. Is George the one who goes, dinosaur?
Dinosaur!
That would have been Gavin Williams. If there's someone now comically young, he'd be George.
Dinosaur.
Yeah.
And then...
Mr. Dog. Who's Mr. Dog? He's the one with the shops.
No.
It comes in packs of 10. Which one is that?
Oh, God. Who's got the shop? There's Miss Rabbit who does all the jobs. Is there anyone in the cabinet who just moves around all the time doing everyone different jobs? Yeah,
Gove is Mrs. Rabbit.
Miss Rabbit is Gove. Gove can do anything. Education, health, prisons, justice.
Mrs. Rabbit, how's her voice?
Miss Rabbit.
How does she talk?
Never mind. We'll do it again tomorrow. I think it's a little bit like that.
She goes to the palace and gets the thing from the Queen.
Hello. Mrs. Rabbit.
Miss Rabbit. For doing all the jobs all the time, we're going to give you an award. Our brother-in-law is the voice of Mr. Wolf.
Alexander Armstrong.
Yeah.
But what if Mr. Wolf doesn't do much? Because Xander's so busy, he can only be a episode every 10.
Exactly. He's just... No, he that
literally
Mr.
phones
Mr. Wolf,
in from Pointless. Mr.
Wolf was only ever... or Daddy Wolf, whatever he's called, was only ever in it for the sight gag of there being a family of pigs living next to a wolf. Delphine Donkey.
Miss Gazelle? No.
Madame
Gazelle.
Madame Gazelle. And then what little noise does she... Because they all make their animal noises after they speak, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then Candy Cat. Meow. I think we should go up the tree, meow. Or something. And then, there's Delphine Donkey, who comes from France. That would be quite good if you wake up in the morning.
There's an elephant. What does the elephant do?
Edward Elephant. I'm a clever clogs. That's Edward Elephant, I think.
Okay,
I'm doing quite well all this from memory. I'm not looking any of this up. Zoe Zebra. Whoop whoop.
What the fuck's that?
That's what a zebra sounds. That's what a zebra. Zebra go whoop 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 whoop.
They just
whoop,
go.
Whoop, whoop. No, they don't. Yeah, they those are the galloping hooves, but then the zebras make a kind of whoop 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 whoop, whoop noise.
Right.
Yeah.
There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just so that people, because you know how with this podcast, you think it's important for not just witty repartee and marital collapse, but people to get a little insight of what it's like, you know, writing a column for a newspaper.
Yeah.
And in my case, this being my job, lockdown being over and we're all back in the thing, it so happens that as a columnist, my job, I have to arrange the Christmas comment office party.
This is a Christmas party arranged for all of the people who work on the comment pages.
Yeah, all the people who write for the comment, which it's always happened for hundreds and hundreds of years, ever since Disraeli was the comment editor or whatever.
Oh.
Well, I know I made that up, but, you know, he probably was. And various people like that. And anyway, we had to have, like, 28 people there at a date in December, and I ended up arranging it for the Bull and Last, which is my local pub, because they were able to just throw out whoever was in there and accommodate us, and it's all great. But I've had to do the thing with the help of Eleanor Eve, for the sort of desk secretary, to like get the guest list together, invite people, come up with the menu, some of them complaining. Janice Turner, who lives in Peckham or somewhere, furious that it's in North London.
Lashing people to agree to come to any sort of event and decide what they're going to eat in advance is bad enough, and it's worse if it's a bunch of journalists.
It's a bunch of columnists. A gaggle of columnists. The 28 most opinion,
most
centre-right people in the country. Let's not insult them too much, because I'm going to talk about them quite a lot and name them. They're all wonderful.
No, I'm talking about you.
Oh, right.
Sort of kind of contrary kind of... James Harding once told me that everybody is either a cop or a robber, even journalists.
Former editor of the Times.
They're either cops or robbers. And op-ed people are all robbers, not cops.
So I've been getting... The thing about the comment dinner is, so I've got to arrange the comment dinner, which for people all across the country are having to do their Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
And you put the menu and you go, right, we're going to have turkey on there, and there's going to be a beef option for people who don't like turkey, and there's fish, people have to have fish, and there's going to be a veggie option. You get someone who goes vegan, and Chenaman, I'm delighted, his email to say I'm gluten-free, so I've gone back to the pub and gluten-free. And it's just, you end up doing this thing, and it's just a funny thing to be having to do. And I've had to pay for it all.
So I'm looking
at my phone. So for example, so I'm looking forward to see, has Hugo Rifkin paid me yet? I see that David Ronovich, you know, he's actually has paid me. But, you know, you will notice, for example, that Danny Finkelstein has ordered the fish, but he hasn't paid me for the fish. And am I going to go around? I think maybe he has. But I see myself in March emailing David Ronovich to say I'm still waiting for the money for the Blackberry Tart.
Right.
And then I've even put down, I'm going to pay for 6 bottles of white and 6 bottles of red, just so that there is some booze, because I don't want to put it on the bill beforehand. And then there's a sort of open bar, and I wanted to see if you could guess. You seem to not give a shit. Like, I thought it's funny, Libby Purvis, you know, everyone loves Libby Purvis. You come to think, what has she ordered for her Christmas lunch? She's ordered the roast Norfolk bronze turkey. Or Ben McIntyre, what's he having?
Fish.
No, beef.
Right, okay, all right.
What about William Hague?
Has he ordered a lot? I know, how does he...
the Norfolk bronze turkey.
He ordered a lot of beer.
Good one.
12 pints of beer.
William Hague is having the Norfolk bronze turkey breast, apple and blackberry tort. Funnily enough, Libby Purvis objected to the fact that it was happening in North London. And I said, on the plus side, it's much nearer when it's all back to mind for drugs and hanky-panky. And William Hague emailed, this is very different from the Daily Telegraph. Which he's not wrong. What about Hugo Rifkin? What's he having? Is Hugo Rifkin? About Hugo. Is he having the
fish,
roast turkey, the
fish,
beef, the fish, or the veggie?
He's having the
fish. No! He's having the beef. Wrong again. Oh, David Aronovich.
Fish.
No! He's having the turkey. Matthew Paris.
Turkey.
Yes. Rose Wild, who writes that
feedback.
Feedback. Brilliant feedback column. Rose Wild, who lives only up the road and will be delighted that it's that. What's she having?
The celeriac.
No, fuck off. No one's having the celeriac.
Beef.
Beef. The beef. One person is having the salt baked celeriac.
Is it?
It's Cliff Martin, the sub who fucked up the headline today and put an up at the end of the sentence. Trevor Phillips.
Fish.
Yes.
Yay.
He's having the roasted market fish followed by the Tunworth cheese. Maybe Trevor Phillips.
He's a very healthy.
He's a very slim, handsome man.
Yeah, that
man.
He is. Yeah.
Fish. Now, he stirs the pot on the culture wars in the paper. He's got to be able to run from the woke warriors. James Forsyth. What's he having? Are there new haggis on the menu?
Turkey.
Yes.
Yay.
What's he having next?
Well, I don't know what the...
He's also having the cheese, because he's copying Trevor Phillips, probably. No, he could have been having the dark chocolate mousse or the apple and blackberry tort. This is an insight. You don't normally see this with these. These are legendary people. Emma Duncan. I think she's the editor of The Economist, or was, or deputy thing. She's our columnist. She's having the beef. What's Libby having? We've done that. And Danny Finkelstein, we've done that. That's all of them. Alice Thompson.
Fish.
Yes.
What are you having?
I don't know.
Have you decided?
What do you think I'm having?
What are the options? Read them out.
It's
fish, beef, turkey,
or salt-baked celeriac.
Followed by, and what are the puddings?
Followed by
cheese?
Apple and blackberry tort with slotted cream within her ice cream. Tunworth cheese, caraway, sesame cracker, chutney, grapes.
Yeah.
Dark chocolate mousse, plain and Armagnac ice cream, and walnut wafer.
You're definitely going to have the cheese. You're definitely having the cheese, and then you're probably going to have... Ooh, this is a very hard one, because they're all quite normal things. I can normally predict what you're going to have if there's some kind of like a brain or a liver or something that's...
Oh, did I mention the reindeer penis galette?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you'd have... What am I having? My main course.
Oh, God. I think you probably trust the bull and last to do a nice turkey.
Yes, turkey. I'm having the turkey. Right. But I'm not having the cheese, because I'm no longer on that note, because I'm not trying to be thin. I'm reckoning I'll be absolutely shit-faced in all the cheap red wine I've bought, and I'll fancy an apple and blackberry tort
with
all the sugar to kind of bring me that.
Exactly. I was going to say, I thought you would just eat everyone else's puddings. So you could
There's
have the
also
cheese
that.
And then like eat
just a nibble of Claire Foge's pudding.
Yeah, oh, lovely.
I don't think Claire's coming. She hasn't replied.
Well, she's got three children, under three.
At the moment, we've got 16 in. The invitation's been out to 28. Lots of people not bothering to reply.
So are you saying to me that the humour in this is the juxtaposition between these very, very grand people?
It's like going, William Hague!
And the prosaic... Somewhere
cheese.
And the prosaic,
it's the prosaic nature of what they're
okay,
having.
Okay, fine. Okay, yeah. So that's what's fine.
Trevor Phillips is having the fish. Like, he's the former chairman of the Commission for Racial Equality, who writes at the time, thinks the woke warrior thing is bullshit, is really questions critical race theory from an interesting point of view, and he's having the fucking fish.
And at some point, he sat down in front of his laptop and considered all the options and said...
Instead of writing about the cancellation of former slave-owning families and it's what it could mean for centrist politics, he's gone, cheese or apple and blackberry tort?
Am I going to have the turkey?
Do you think he's shouted down to his wife? What do you think? what will I fancy on in the, I won't say the date, because otherwise people will come and picket the pub.
Shall we move on to how Justin Welby? So there's a story in the paper today. He says he can't bear to watch anything on TV with a vicar in it because they're always sinister or sort of evangelical and mad. And he's saying most vicars are very, very just hardworking, normal people. Like, he makes them out to be
was
like
it in
MPs.
The paper today? Because I'd quite like to find it, because
do you know what? I think it actually might be in the mail. Just have a quick look in the mail. Keep going. I think it's down there. I think it's there. Is it down there? No, it's not.
No.
Oh, where the hell was it?
There's a Daddy Pig story. Twins. No. Delivery firm. Shamed. Welby. Welby. Why I can't watch TV vicars. Yeah. The Archbishop of Canterbury. We have a picture of him with his massive mitre.
As if he
watches TV. In
yeah, yeah.
It. I mean, it's fine, but...
He gets up in the morning and makes his toast with his great big hat on.
The Archbishop of Canterbury has said he struggles to watch TV vicars as they are portrayed as rogues or idiots. Welby picture did not mention any specific characters, but instead referred to Jeremy Clarkson's farm, blah, 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 National Farmers Union. He said, I have no idea how you feel about it. Maybe for watching Jeremy Clarkson feels a bit like, for me, watching anything with a vicar in it. Either you can't stand it or you get completely addicted. I generally find depictions of vicars on TV to be depressing. Except, Rev was great.
Vicar of Dibley.
So what was your point? I like the idea.
My point is, everybody thinks their own profession is misrepresented on television.
Yeah.
Journalists are very rarely represented on television, but whenever they are, they're always going, we've got to get to the bottom of this story. We've got to, like, when in actual fact, journalists at work are just...
Oh, no, the editor goes, Bobby, I want you doorstepping.
Yeah.
Jane, get everything you can get on the background of the thing. Martin, Bill and Cedric, I want you all taking photographs.
Doorstep the old lady. I don't care how unhappy she is. But, you know,
and you go... That's the whole staff of the biggest newspaper in the world. There are no... there's a massive story. Bill, Google what you can, slap it down. It's going off stone in an hour, and it's not even a stone anymore.
Sally, try not to get everything off Wikipedia. Just make a phone call.
And I remember at the times, quite often, when I used to work in the office, they would have people, actors and writers, coming in to like see what it's like to be in the newspaper office. To learn, so they could...
And then they had to go and make it all up because it's so boring.
And it's just people in silence going...
Yeah.
Tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tappity-tap-tap. Oh, fuck! Tappity-tappity-tappity-tap. Yeah. And so, no, but the represent... I was always really... I'm always upset by the representation of sport. Like, so there was a series called Bodyline in the 80s about the Bodyline tour. And the acting...
What's the Bodyline tour?
It was a tour of... England tour of Australia in 1932. Why is it Bodyline? It was called Bodyline because they bowled in the line of the body. They bowled bouncers and bouncers and bouncers to try and offset the domination of Don Bradman. And it caused questions in Parliament. It caused a diplomatic massive thing because we hurt lots of the Australian players. And it was, there's two teams out there and only one of them playing cricket. Anyway, listen, the point is they were crap at cricket. And you'd watch this really dramatic thing, but the bowling was rubbish because they couldn't play cricket. They were not representing cricketers properly. So, yeah, it's about the representation. I find the representation of anyone English and middle class embarrassing.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why it's so much easier to watch fiction if it's American.
And about professions that are not your own.
Yeah.
Imagine how police feel watching Line of Duty. It can't be like that, can it?
No, it really isn't. Although I do believe that policemen do probably talk in that terrible, boring way that they do. Oh, I spoke to the Chiz and he said if it was
the Chiz is dead, isn't it? Chizes are dead. The Chiz was dead and you can't speak to a Chiz.
Chiz stands for Covert Human Information Source. Chiz is an acronym for a grass, basically.
Yeah, fine.
So you could do a thing about... But then there are moments, for example, in the paper, the greatest film I've made with Michael Keaton, about one day in the life of a local newspaper, like basically like...
But does that work because it's American?
Maybe it does work because it's American.
The guy who edits for The World. I could have given you the world. I don't live in the world.
I live in New York fucking city. So go fuck yourself. Slam. Big swig of Coke.
Yeah.
Okay. Coca-Cola. Not Cocodamol.
Don't know why you just don't drink battery acid. No caffeine.
No caffeine. Oh my God. I love my caffeine so much.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on the Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts. To find out what I wrote about in the end, you can pick up a copy of The Times or get a digital subscription. Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran Has No Idea. And for the full live experience, tune into my show on Times Radio every Friday from 1 till 4.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.